Welcome to the Quest Boat. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespedito. How's it going? Thank you for downloading. We appreciate it. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out, as always, in the Crespedito Studio. Crespedito Studio 4.0, coming together pretty well. It's not complete yet, but will be soon. Almost dropped the space pen, but I caught it. No one could see it.
Slowly but surely.
Not a video podcast yet, though we may be periscoping soon. We'll see about that.
Does anybody have to get, like, a periscope?
Actual periscope.
Can I yell down periscope or up periscope when we start using it?
And then we have a periscope come down from the ceiling, and then we look in there.
And we don't see anything.
Because there's nothing out there.
No.
We'll see, like, the wall outside. We could. It seems like an unnecessary expense at this time.
But, I mean, periscope, come on, man.
But we're going to go with the periscope theme. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. That's my co-host, Drew Skogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going.
Drewster's millions. How are those millions, buddy?
They're gone. My millions.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew's in debt, trying to get myself out of it as fast as I can.
Stuff out there for a doctor. That's why I say you should go to Fiverr.com and put up your doctoring skills for $5. Whatever people need doctored, you'll doctor it up.
I will.
That's how you should.
I'll doctor your face.
I'll doctor your face, motherfucker. That sounds like a threat.
With my fist.
Whoa, that was definitely a threat. We'll document that one as further evidence.
Awesome. Fantastic, Chris.
Cogburn v.
The world. Just Cogburn versus the world, bro. Come on, let's go. I'm taking on the entire world by myself.
Took it out of the episode. Don't want to. So we're doing a bonus episode here.
I was just about to say, what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah,
Chris?
We are talking about that television. We're talking TV. We had a request. People have been asking. You know, people actually, since pretty much the show started, have been asking us to talk more TV. And I was like, yeah, we'll do it, man. We'll do it. But I just don't get around to it, or I keep forgetting to.
Well,
or we don't watch TV shows on similar schedules because of all, you know, everything's on demand and shit. Plus, I don't have that much time to be watching TV, people.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, there are...
Poor TV animals.
The TV that is produced well and worth talking about,
yes,
is few and far between.
I believe so.
So
people talk about the golden age of television, how this is the golden age of television. I call bullshit on that.
I mean, if you like,
I'm just saying there's so much content out there. Some of it's bound to be good. They make so much of it.
If you're into reality TV, this is the golden age of television.
No, I feel like that was more like 2000.
Dude, it's still going on.
It is still
going
on.
All this stuff's still going on.
It
became part of American TV culture.
No, it's a genre now for sure. It'll never go away, reality TV. But I feel like the real golden age, like when it took over, was like that like 2006, 2007 time period where there was like a writer's strike. Like a legit writer's strike in Hollywood. And they were just like, fuck you guys, reality TV. And there was
they just shoved it down our throats.
And lately it's been more scripted television. People have been calling it golden age of TV. Yeah. Especially during the Breaking Bad, The Wire.
Well, no, it's like, I mean, there's
Mad
some,
Men days.
There is some very good television.
Yes,
out
it
there.
Is. Yes, and it, and all that really good television, all the shows that most people talk about as being really good TV, most of them anyway. The reason why all of a sudden they're good is because they're taking more cinematic approaches to their serialized television entertainment.
Yes.
To the point where our televisions are now standard widescreen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is...
Not the way it was.
Not the way it was before. All TVs were square. Your movies were cropped. Movies were being edited to fit the television.
Well,
now TV is
full,
more...
It was called full screen.
Yeah. That full screen bullshit.
And they just chop off the sides.
You know, Drew, there are kids these days that have no idea about, like, full screen and pan and scan.
Well,
and,
I mean, it's old technology.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these kids don't understand
these
the whole magnetic tape thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
stuck in a machine.
It was cassettes. It was VHS. It was... I mean, when I was growing up...
Tell the kids.
My buddy's dad had what at the time was a portable hard drive, but it was just a giant magnetic tape thing that he plugged into his computer, and it had, at the time, you know, like 100 megs, which was unheard of.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
But what was the ad on there? Probably a couple pictures of some titties.
I have no idea.
Probably just some titties.
I think he used it for work.
Yeah.
That's
what he told his kid.
I just remember seeing it being like, what the hell is this?
Don't look at my work files, son. That's what he kept saying.
Yep.
And your friend was like, I think they're just charts and graphs. I don't think they're anything. He only looks at it at night.
But yeah, TV's good.
TV can be good. There's a lot of shit out there, but there's some good stuff.
Yes.
And I guess spoiler alert, we're only going to talk about shows that we like.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean,
because we're not going to watch entire seasons of something we don't like.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. I mean,
maybe borderline, maybe stuff that's like, eh, okay.
I really don't have time to actually like watch TV.
Exactly.
Things. So,
exactly.
Unless
one of these shows we're about to talk about, I had to binge watch it on Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and I just kind of picked up on it because I thought it was a cool idea.
Yeah, right. So, the stuff's been we've been gathering these up essentially for the last few months. So, do not expect talking TV to be like, I don't even want to call it once a month. It might be like a once a quarter type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but we will be doing these so we can get the television stuff out of the way so we can talk about the Game of Thrones and all that stuff. Because people have been asking about you. Ever since we started the show, people have been asking for it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But we never really have been doing it.
Well, here we go. Now we're doing it.
We got to give the people what they want.
So what do you
want
to talk about, Chris?
Well, first, let's start with the show. Is it the USA Network's best show? It's possible. I mean,
in recent memory, yes.
The previous best show was Monk, which itself was okay enough. It went on by the grace of Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
You know, that's what made that show.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Robot.
Yes.
On USA.
Mr. Sam Esmail.
Sam Esmail. This fellow who's only done like one movie.
Yeah.
And a short or something.
And then this show.
And then
they created.
He somehow got this show. There's some backstory out there about how USA even got this show because it's out of character for them.
Yes.
A show like this.
Definitely.
This is something you expect to see on like an AMC.
Or even maybe
HBO.
I was about to say, with maybe some higher paid actors, the HBO.
Yeah. Exactly. A little bit more money
mm-hmm.
put into it.
Yeah.
Although I still think for what they decided to do.
Still put a decent amount of money into it.
It helps out that the whole thing was set in New York City. New York City just adds production value, instant production value.
Yeah.
You go to Times Square, put your people out there in Times Square, stick a camera in their face, all of a sudden you have massive
Times Square.
You have extras. Look at all these extras, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of people, you know.
Exactly.
Giant buildings and lights.
I mean it's the first time I've liked Christian Slater in a while.
Yeah, he doesn't do much. Lately, and he usually just does his Christian Slater thing, but you know, here he was pretty good.
It worked. I mean, when I think Christian Slater and things that I like him in,
yep,
True Romance and Mr. Robot, that's pretty much it.
Really? Yeah. How about Heathers? You know the Heathers fan?
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty great in that, and I like that movie. What else is Christian Slater? Oh, what was that one? Anyway. But he's not the star.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? No. Garbage.
I like the guy who played his character, the spoof character, in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go with the knives. Yeah. And they try to put the knives in his holsters and his pants fall down.
Uh-huh.
This isn't talking about Robin Hood spoofs. This isn't talking Mel Brooks movies. This is talking TV. We're talking Mr. Robot. Christian Slater's pretty good in it.
He is.
But it's all centered on, what's this guy's name? Who's his kid?
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek.
He plays Elliot Anderson.
Elliot. He's pretty compelling to watch in this show.
He's got
kind of the crazy eyes type thing going on.
He's kind of a weird looking dude.
He's a weird looking dude.
And, I mean, I don't know if everybody's watched all of Mr. Robot.
Hey, well, you know what? Good. Thank you for bringing that up, Drew. Spoilers, we're talking about everything.
Okay. I was just about to ask.
On every show we're talking about everything. So, if you don't hear about more Mr. Robot, fast forward about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, he's. When you first meet him, you realize he's kind of out there.
Yeah, he's off.
And kind of crazy.
You assume he's on the spectrum, the autism spectrum.
He's talking to the viewer as if they're like some voice in his head or some personification of somebody. He's talking straight to us.
Which becomes more prominent as the series progresses. When the show first starts, it just sounds like, okay, this is just voiceover.
Yeah.
Your standard voiceover. But as it gets like those last few
episodes,
he's talking to you.
He's addressing you. He's like, do you know this? And, how did you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on? Because I sure as hell know.
And he's like questioning you and stuff. Like, whose side are you on? Yeah, it's weird.
But that just goes into the fact that he is that truly batshit fucking crazy.
That poor guy's got problems.
I mean, it's a Fight Club type thing. He's Christian Slater, his dad, is just in his head.
Yeah, it is. He's Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
And he created a Space Monkey program.
Yep.
Project Mayhem.
Except
to do the same thing that they wanted to do with Fight Club, which is destroy the credit industry in order to wipe out everyone's debt.
But instead, they did it with hackers.
Right.
And
as opposed to exploding the actual servers.
Well,
they still did that though.
They still did explode some actual servers.
They did that as well. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, but you don't really see that in this one, and that's not necessary. And the funny thing was, after it happened, I mean, in Fight Club, that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie.
You know,
goal achieved. And at the same time,
everything goes down. He shoots and blah, blah, blah.
At the same time, Jack gets catharsis. He realizes that he's the same person. Yeah. And he's like, you know what, Tom? I don't need you anymore. And then he's like, you met me in a weird time. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So he, but closed loop, not with Mr. Robot.
Exactly. I was about to say, as opposed to Mr. Robot, where still it worked. Their plan worked.
Yep.
They brought down the credit company.
Yep.
But now he seems to be crazier than ever.
Yeah. So the show ends with that cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which. Now, lately, TV shows have gotten to the anthology thing has become popular.
Yeah.
People appreciate a closed story more. And sure, pick up the story in the next season, but this season, don't leave me hanging. Give me a nice closed story that at least will keep us talking or whatever, right? This one, they went straight up cliffhanger. Knock at the door. He goes to answer it just as he opens the door. Credits.
Well, I mean, you do get a little bit of closure because you do...
Well, you get closure on the mission, the goal... The end of the world type stuff.
And you finally find out that, yes, he is batshit crazy.
That's a whole new door being opened.
Yeah, exactly. Throughout the whole series, you're watching him, I guess, get crazier and delve deeper.
Yeah. Or are we, the audience, just realizing more and more that he's crazy? It is the type of thing, like with Fight Club, where it does make me want to go back and watch earlier episodes to rewatch his interactions with Christian Slater. And scenes in which him and Christian Slater are with other people.
Yeah.
And I'll go back and watch it. I'm like, oh shit, no one else ever talks to Christian Slater. Because there's the one scene where the two guys are in the van.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're wondering what's going on. Well, Christian Slater's in there and it's like he's talking to them.
But he's not really, because they're just talking to each other.
You don't really realize that. That they don't really talk to him. So it does make you want to go back and watch some of that stuff.
At the same time, like watching some of that stuff... You like when Christian Slater, like when he's addressing everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously Elliot who's addressing everyone.
Yes, apparently, like Tyler Durden.
Exactly,
because there's scenes in Fight Club where Tyler Durden is addressing. He's the one who gives the rules.
Yeah.
But Ed Norton sitting off the side with his arms crossed. So really, Ed Norton sitting over there with Tyler Durden is, the whole split person.
Well, no, exactly. So, whoever's not doing anything is the one who's, inside the head. It's always the action that's Elliot.
Now, Fight Club is a very direct comparison because I think it's overt.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're trying to hide it.
No.
And... As a matter of fact, watching the show, I had a distinct impression of... This is what... This with the style of the show, which I was immediately struck by the style. Mr. Robot is like the AI colon artificial intelligence version of a TV show in that it feels like it's a movie that was in some ways developed by Stanley Kubrick. I'm speaking more visually of storyboards and stuff. And it was developed by him. Then he died... And then David Fincher picked it up, and he ran with it and finished the project, like how Spielberg finished AI, right?
Yeah.
Because it goes back and forth between all these wonderfully symmetric shots, distant shots, very cold, unemotional. Like, all the intros were all great. Every way they led up to the Mr. Robot title card was very epic and calculated. Mm-hmm. Felt very Kubrickian, which I felt was on purpose. But then the rest of the show is always, it's totally straight up Fincher, underlit rooms, shadows, a lot of lights in the background, so you get like really dark foregrounds. It's like this is it. This guy is like, if I was going to make this show, I could see myself cranking it out the same way visually.
He's doing it right. He's once again stealing from the best to do his own work.
And this S-Mail guy definitely did the pilot.
He directed 3 episodes.
Okay, the pilot, the pilot, last episode.
It doesn't say
which ones. Yeah, well, you have to click on each individual.
Maybe
one.
If I click on him,
you don't gotta click on each one. I know he definitely did the pilot.
Episode. Three.
Because there were 10 episodes.
Created,
right?
Written. He wrote 5. Oh, that's writer, producer, director. Episode. 1, 6, and 9.
1, 6, and 9. So he did the penultimate one when he goes to the grave and they're like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the show's really good. I really appreciate the approach. I like that it's timely. You know what I don't like about it?
Huh.
I don't like how ham-fisted it is. It's very on the nose, very much of the of what's going on. It's just text. There's no subtext, right? And it's
yeah.
They don't hide anything. There's no grace to the movie.
It is very in your face.
So this corporation,
Evil Corp. Which is so awesome.
Evil Corp. You think it's awesome? I thought it was so cheesy.
It
annoyed me.
It is, but it it presents, you know, a view of the corporation.
Yeah, which I understand. I'd be fine. You know, Drew, I'd be fine if they were like, this is our nickname for the company. What I wasn't fine with is how in the media they were called Evil Corp.
Well, that was the name of the actual name of the company.
I think they were called E-Corp. I saw one thing online that said they were called E-Corp, their nickname's Evil Corp, but they referred to themselves as Evil Corp.
No.
And there's what company in the world would call themselves evil?
Well, only the, well, I guess...
Bad Guys Express was taken?
Yeah, well, the Swedish guy.
The Swedish guy, Tyrell.
Is he Swedish, right?
Yes,
I don't know
Swedish.
What the fuck language they're talking.
I believe he is Swedish.
Yeah.
That is an interesting character.
Yes.
Got crazy.
That whole...
What happened to him at the end? He disappeared.
We don't know.
We don't know. Another cliffhanger.
No, well, see, he goes into the assumption that, you know, quote unquote, Mr. Robot killed him. So,
you
Christian
think?
Slater. Well,
because
he wakes. Because in the last episode, he wakes up in the car.
Yes. Like 2 or 3 days later, doesn't know.
Like 3 days later, has no idea what just happened, had no idea it went through, has no idea anything.
Right.
And during one of the quote unquote confrontations where he's pretty much just beating himself up.
Yeah, Fight Club style. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, he's screaming at Christian Slater, like, where is he? Where is he? I know you killed him. And then Christian Slater is just like, nah, he kind of brushes it off.
So then I would posit the
but
way.
I don't think
the way the show went, the way the show's been at that point, if Christian Slater, if he's not admitting to it right away, he'd be like, it's something we had to do, man.
Yeah.
Then I'm guessing he's not dead, but he is somewhere.
I don't think he's dead. I think at the end, I think he helped.
He must have, right? And because he needed it to happen. He lost his job. He needed everything to be wiped clean.
Exactly.
It's his benefit to bring all that shit down.
After, you know, murdering that dude's wife.
That was crazy. And, that scene was crazy.
You know, his weird ass fucking wife that is just like...
She just likes it rough. And she's very domineering. She's very domineering, but I bet she likes it rough.
She is dominant.
She likes to be dominated.
Yeah.
But otherwise, she's like, I'm wearing the pants.
Yes.
In this family of designer pants.
Strange.
Yeah.
That whole side.
It's a very good show, but like, I thought Evil Corp was too far.
Too tongue-in-cheek?
Tongue-in-cheek. The tongue went through the cheek. It busted out of the cheek, Plimpton style. F Society? Come on, guys. Yeah. F Society.
Fuck Society, dude.
And then, the anonymous masks that were like the Monopoly Man.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't think of something else. You just want to make a direct comparison to Anonymous. Like, we couldn't pick it up that a hack, that some sort of hacker group. No, we're too stupid. We need you to... I feel like a lot of hand-holding was going on.
Yeah, but even so, Anonymous stole that shit from fucking V for Vendetta. So, fuck them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is... Anonymous took it into real life, and then just taking it back into art, you're just going to go...
Yep.
It doesn't work. They could have put a little more thought in that because they did put a lot of work into the show. A lot went into it.
But they didn't.
Some things they could have like worked a little harder. So like a lot of the dialogue and stuff it's on the nose. But in the end though, I still appreciate the message in a way.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the show. And so I'm looking forward to season 2.
So am I.
Which apparently season 2, so what they did, you'll say, they put the pilot on like on demand. Back in March, before the show debuted on TV in the late summer, summer. And the response they got online to the pilot was so good that they renewed the show for a second season before they even aired the first season on TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, that's pretty interesting.
I know, it was good. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it.
If you haven't watched it, we just ruined everything for you.
We did ruin everything for you, but it's still worth watching. Some people don't mind. Some people really don't care about hearing the deets, and they'll watch something anyway if they know it's good.
All right.
My aunt likes to, when she gets a book, if she gets to a certain point, if she's really into a book that she's reading, and she starts getting to a point where she's like, she has to know what happens, she will like read the last page.
Yeah.
She'll read the end, like, oh, okay, and now I know how it ends. I can go back. And I'm like, how do you do that? My mom does the same thing. If she's watching a movie, she can't take the tension. She's like, just tell me what happens next. Tell me, does he live or does he die?
No, that's the point of the movie. You're going on the journey.
Yeah, you're going on the journey. She's like, just tell me. And if I don't tell her, she'll open up her laptop, Google, like, okay, George Clooney dies in Gravity. Now I know. I'm like, Mom, why even watch the movie now?
All right.
So people like that shit. So if you haven't watched Mr. Robot, check out. If you haven't watched Mr. Robot, let us know what
you
think. Let us know what you think.
It was good.
CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com or Twitter @Crespediso or Facebook CinemaCrespediso. Let's talk about, what show do you want to talk about next?
I mean, what do we got on the list?
You talked about that Mr. Robot.
Let me see the list.
There's a list.
Let's go with the BoJack.
Let's talk about that BoJack Horseman season 2. I guess secondly we can be talking about just BoJack Horseman overall, because we never even talked about season 1.
Yeah.
So we'll just talk about overall as a show. It's a pretty awesome show.
It is absolutely hilarious, and it is full of real truth about
the poignant show.
People and relationships and why people do things sometimes. I mean, at face value, it's a silly show about a washed-up actor that's actually a fucking horse.
Yeah, in a world where half the population are people, the other half are anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah.
And no one's...
Nobody cares.
No one mentions a word
Everything's
about
fine.
Yeah.
And it's really... I mean, it's strange, but it's... I mean, Will Arnett is on point. He's
great.
That fucking voice just gets me every time.
He does that. And I mean, that's what he's been doing for a while. That the arrogant thing, but the arrogant wounded guy.
But it works.
Yeah, he's been doing that. I mean, that's what Batman is.
That's probably what he is.
That probably is what he is. He's just letting the world know who he really is through his art.
Exactly.
Love me. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
We love you, Will.
But I mean, it's hilarious.
It is.
It is very poignant. Like I, you know, once again, I already said that. But it's. I mean, it is one of those cartoons that really blurs the line. You know, it's like the Watchmen type thing where you know, graphic novels are like busting into actual novels
and
people really not cartoons because, you know, it's art and it's drawn.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, BoJack and a lot of other cartoons these days, you know, we're talking
like
your
Rick and Morty,
your Rick and Morty, your Adventure Times,
South Park,
your
even.
South Parks. I mean, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. You can't. That's not really for kids. It can be, but it's not really.
Exactly. Well, and that's how cartoons have always been. But I don't want to.
That is true.
I do not want to get into that conversation. That's a whole other hour long.
That is very true. There's a reason why the original Looney Tunes cartoons had characters of like Humphrey Bogart and shit.
Exactly.
Kids didn't know who Humphrey Bogart was.
But it's one of those shows that kind of blurs that line to where it's elevating cartoons to this other level.
The higher level. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll put BoJack in a category like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really well done. It's very well written. It's astute observations of human behavior is what it is. It's whoever wrote it like knows people.
Oh,
and knows how people. It's probably drawn from a lot of very personal experiences.
Yeah, I was about to say whoever writes this has been in Hollywood a little bit too long, and
probably,
B has been chewed up and fucking spit out by that place a couple of times.
Like this is the place that we're in. And it's a great voice cast, so I feel like goes a long way.
I mean, Will Arnett, Amy Sedaris, Allison Brie, Aaron Paul, Paul F. Tompkins.
My boy, PFT.
I mean...
Mr. Peanut Butter. I love Mr. Peanut Butter. He's so stupid.
He is.
But so sincere.
But
he's such an ass.
He's such a dog.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
He's a dog. He's a dog.
All of the animals, they really play to their natural behaviors.
Yeah, princess. What's Amy's? Princess.
Princess Madeline? Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Princess Carolyn.
Princess Carolyn cracks me up.
Yeah.
You know, if you search, I just search for like to do the graphic for the show that people might can see if they download the episode, and it's on the website at chriscrespo.com. For the graphic for the show, like I look for some BoJack Horseman pictures. All my search was BoJack Horseman. That's two words. BoJack Horseman. Google image search.
why was I getting a picture of BoJack with like a huge dick hanging out, like sitting on the couch, or the princess, what's her name, like splayed open, dude. It was weird. Didn't have to search that far down either. It wasn't like I was on page 300. I'm looking for a decent picture of BoJack, and I'm like, why is there?
Hang on.
Why is there BoJack porn already?
Images.
You people are freaking me out, man.
BoJack Horseman images.
So while Drew looks for BoJack Horseman porn,
yeah, no,
you got to scroll down a little bit. I was looking for like just the right image to use of BoJack. It had to be a certain size for it to work in my.
Oh, there we go.
See, it didn't take that long.
Yeah, I guess already.
That didn't take long for you to find it.
I didn't necessarily wish to see that.
Hey, I didn't tell you to search for it. I just told you it's out there, and I stumbled across it by accident.
I just wanted to know how far down it was.
Not very far, right?
Yeah. Oh man, and Princess Carolyn's boyfriend, the three kids.
Oh my goodness.
With a fucking broom arm.
The broom arm.
In a goddamn fucking trench coat.
And then there's that one scene where it seemed like it was all going to come apart.
And it doesn't. And they just play it off like he's an actual person. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, they're just going to break up.
And BoJack's the only one who's like, you know, there's three kids.
There's three kids in there. Yeah. And everyone,
everyone's like, no, he's a perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, what really got me about BoJack and still does every time is the fucking intro. The intro for BoJack is one of the best TV intros I think I've ever seen.
It's really good. It's really good. Stylish. It's got a good song.
Yeah.
It tells you the story of BoJack.
No, exactly. And all with no words.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot about BoJack and it introduces every single character that you're going to see in the show.
Which is very interesting. I also like the closing song.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Good song. Good music.
BoJack. It's good stuff.
BoJack is good. Definitely enjoyed it.
Love that BoJack.
And it was fun how season one was, he's like the wash-up actor. Season two was, he's getting a chance with the Secretariat movie, but how all that shit like went sour. What would season three going to be about? How did season two end? What's her name? Went back to Mr. Peanut Butter.
Uh-huh.
BoJack. Oh, BoJack has to go through the award circuit, right?
Uh-huh.
That's how BoJack ended? Because they took him out of the movie, replaced him with Digital BoJack, and Digital BoJack, everyone's like, you're amazing!
Yep.
That was the last episode, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, it was. That was a final episode.
So next season is going to be about the fallout from that.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Okay. And Princess Penelope? What's her name? Carolyn.
Princess Carolyn.
She's getting to start her own company.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's breaking off after she got screwed over by the rabbit dude.
That weird rabbit dude. Like, that was funny. I like that show.
Uh-huh.
It was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about BoJack.
Love that BoJack Horseman.
Oh, well, then let's keep going with the Netflix. And let's talk about season one of Sensei.
Ooh, that freaking show.
Produced by the Wachowski siblings, Wachowskis.
It is
of the Matrix. And
so very much
bound.
I mean, the Wachowskis are definitely going in a direction. You know.
Yes, they are going in a direction.
Between Sensei reminds me a lot of Cloud Atlas.
Absolutely.
In the way that they're telling the story.
Yeah. The way they've managed to. Because Cloud Atlas was, they were telling you a story of six different characters in six different time periods.
But it was all the same story.
But they were doing, yeah, it's like parallel storytelling. Since eight is eight characters, technically like
9, 10, 11.
Yeah, because of some ancillary characters.
Yeah.
But eight storylines that are converging into one storyline as the show progresses. But also having their own, like their own resolutions while there's like an overall thing
going
on.
Because technically all eight of them are one.
Are they, though? Are they one? I guess so. They're a cluster.
They can all feel each other's senses, tastes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that freaking... Apparently, they can all fuck each other at the same time.
That crazy orgy.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't even fucking. They were just, like, working out.
Yeah. The white dude, he was just sitting there working out, like, I am totally having sex with, like, 12 people in my head right now. What the hell is going on?
So weird.
And then
when he met up with the Spanish dude at the end, they
we had sex.
Like, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I guess we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Spanish, and Spanish guy was like,
he's like, hey, well, I mean,
and Spanish guy
is Spanish guy.
He's very gay.
He is very gay.
Gentlemen's are very gay.
Yes.
And of course, the Wachowskis are... I like how...
Well, they do it. Dude, they have hit every note in this show.
Like, what makes you uncomfortable sexually? Because we have a sex scene for you, buddy.
Yeah, I was about to say, because there is heterosexual sex.
Yes.
Man and woman. There is homosexual sex.
Yes.
Between man and man.
Man and man. And also homosexual between man and man with a woman on the side just watching and like Dylan herself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's the...
There's transgender.
The transgender sex. With the which woman. Is almost... It'd be trans... But would it be lesbian? I mean, because...
If she's a transgender woman and she's into a woman, I think she would consider herself to be a lesbian.
Yeah, because she was born a man, turned into a woman, uh-huh.
And is into a woman.
Into a woman.
Yeah, sure. Like, Caitlyn Jenner's into women.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yes. Same type of thing.
Transgender lesbian.
Yes.
If you have to label it, right? That's uh-huh. Which is the point of the show.
Uh-huh, yes.
That's the point of the show. So go ahead. Yeah, keep breaking it down. What else we got going on? Is there anything else? Any other crazy sex?
Any other people?
I don't think so, sexual-wise. Because then it's just...
I mean, there was... I mean,
Indian dude and...
Well, it's funny.
Indian lady, I should
say. It's funny, because in Sense8, they do kind of the Fight Club thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where... Because they can meet with each other in their minds, but in all reality, like they're sitting, like
they're sitting in the
homeboy starts when the Icelandic girl mm-hmm. and the white guy finally get together, and they're like in love or whatever.
They start kissing.
Well, they do the mind meld thing, and they start making out in the mind meld, and then it goes back, and it shows homeboy just sitting there like caressing
nothing.
The air, and just sticking his tongue and stuff.
Making crazy faces.
So funny.
It is hysterical. It's like in Mr. Robot when he's choking himself.
Exactly. It's the same type of thing.
Yes. Very funny. It is the same thing.
And then after watching that scene, every time any of those people do that, I'm thinking in my head...
Whenever they do anything.
What are they doing? Like, what does it actually look like they're doing?
Like, even when they're just like talking to someone. Yeah. Like, you're in a cafe. You're sitting at a table talking to yourself.
Yes.
People think you're crazy.
Uh-huh.
But maybe they are crazy. Obviously, they're not crazy.
Well, no.
Because we're in on it. We know that they're connected somehow.
Uh-huh.
I was, again, with the whole anthology thing, expecting a closed loop of a story. They don't do it. They.
I mean, this
the season one ends with all the characters like they're all together on the same page. Like we all know we got this thing going on.
Well, exactly, because
they saved the girl.
Yeah, this entire first season is basically all set up.
It's all set up.
It's character development and getting you used to this very strange style of storytelling.
Which, hell, it takes 2 hours just to get into, like, I have a grasp of what's going on.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You really, when you start watching a show, you just have to go with it.
Yeah.
And try to keep up.
You just have to watch.
And it takes at least the first 2 episodes to, like, play out, here are all the characters, here are all the connections, and here are crazy things that are going to start happening. And then you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But by the time you're, like, in episode five, like,
you get it.
You got it. You got a firm grasp of what's going on. Nothing is confusing anymore. It's pretty amazing.
And it's really good. It's really good too. It is.
Oh, I like all the stories.
It is probably the most progressive style of storytelling that I've ever seen.
Yeah, going on right now.
Yeah.
Serialized.
Yes.
And it is, like you said, an extension of the Cloud Atlas style.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Which that was, I mean, something like that. I don't think that's ever been done before.
That
kind of structural storytelling.
To this day, and there are, I mean... there are a lot of people listening to us that are probably like, oh my God, Cloud Atlas, fuck that movie. That shit was garbage.
Yeah, some people don't like it.
They're
wrong. Those people are wrong. It's cool. People can be wrong.
It got me, man.
It's amazing. It's amazingly well done.
Got me.
So I'm definitely looking forward to the next season of the different storylines. Let me see. There's the Safecracker kid.
Yes. The German guy.
The German guy, right?
Yes.
There's...
Who's kind of a thug.
Kind of a thug. Yeah, he's a thuggy dude.
Yeah.
Because he's like descendant of a gangster.
Well, no, exactly. Organized crime.
Born into organized crime. Poor guy. Doesn't like it. Indian lady marrying the dude. Not really. That doesn't love him, though.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there are... she's religious. He's not. He is definitely more of the progressive, new age Indians.
Yeah, they have some differences for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's definitely more the...
Traditional. Religious.
Exactly.
Sure. So, yeah. So they have to reconcile that stuff.
Yeah.
You have a South Korean lady who took the fall for her brother's corporate negligence and criminality.
Uh-huh.
And also likes to beat up dudes on the side for stress relief in clubs, in nightclubs. I like fight night at Roxy Tuesdays.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She loves whooping ass.
She just
dude's like,
some stress relief.
I can take her. It's some tiny girl, and she just destroys him.
She's the most badass chick out there. She's awesome. I love her.
She was in Cloud Atlas.
Yes, she was.
For sure.
She was the Sumi 451.
Yes.
And the,
and a whole, cluster of other people.
She was the Mexican lady. And the,
whatever.
She was white lady in the beginning in the Tom Hanks.
The old
Tom
Hanks.
So, and then there's Nairobi. The
Yes.
The, what's his name?
Oh,
Van Damme.
Yeah, yes, Van Damme. He drives the Van Damme van.
Yeah, so everyone just calls him Van Damme.
That whole story is crazy.
That is crazy. And then you have the transgender lady hacker girlfriend. They're both kind of like computer hacker people.
Yep.
And their storyline is more, it's partly, it's, you know, her family doesn't like her, or her mom doesn't like her decision, lifestyle choice, but whatever you want to call it.
She's the first one who...
Her storyline is like the first one that gets you the story going.
Well, exactly, because she goes...
The real plot
she
going.
Goes, exactly, because this whole time there's, you know, you're kind of told that there's this group, like people... There's somebody who knows that this stuff's going on,
mm-hmm.
and it might be new to all the people who just got these powers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there is already an established, you know, whatever,
a mythology.
Whether it's a company rules. Or, you know, an overseeing group or somebody knows, and they're tracking down these people, and she's the first one that kind of gets caught, per se.
Whispers.
Yeah.
Mr. Whispers.
Don't look him in the eye.
Don't look at him. Or else he knows. Or else he knows where everyone is.
Yep.
Mr. Whispers. So creepy. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, we got to go into your brain. You got a brain problem. We got to cut
surgery.
Into you. Surgery. And they have to save her.
Yep.
So their storyline is the one that really kicks everything off. And then also, in a way, the police Chicago police officer storyline in Chirac.
The guy.
Like, he's the one who's in the same city where Daryl Hannah shot herself.
Exactly. And he's the one he comes into contact with what's his face? The Middle Eastern guy with the British accent.
Jonas.
He's the one who first comes in contact with Jonas, and Jonas is the one who's telling kind of him, like, this is what's going on. This is who you are, this is how it works.
Yeah.
But even he's suspect right now.
Because someone's like, you can't trust Jonas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some old lady.
And like, why not? Who's this lady? Can't trust this lady.
We don't know.
Who can you trust?
But she's a sensei too, because, you know.
Yeah, apparently, because there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So what was up with Daryl Hannah in the beginning? That I still don't understand.
Well, in the beginning, she killed herself, and somehow that, you know,
somehow that
basically woke up a cluster.
Somehow woke a cluster.
Yeah.
Because they all saw it.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, shit started getting crazy for all of them.
Yes.
Maybe that shit will get explained more in the second season.
Probably.
I hope so.
Well, because, I mean, Daryl Hannah's in the credits, and every once in a while you see...
She's in the crowd, like, looking at him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see her on and off, so I have no idea what's going to go on with that.
Yeah, what a crazy show.
But it's totally worth watching.
Yeah. And it's got, like, you know, the romance, the action. And again, like, if there's something that bothers you sexually.
Yeah, dude, you shouldn't watch this show because there's a...
No, you should definitely watch the show. Leave your hangups at the door and watch a goddamn show and get over your shit.
There's a lot of sex.
You're going to...
A lot of...
You're going to watch two dudes make out.
All sorts of sex.
You're going to watch two dudes make out. It's not gonna make you gay.
No.
That's what you're afraid of. You're going to watch...
two girls make out.
You're going to watch girls. You're going to watch a transgender
guys,
thing going on. And then it turns... At one point, there's a crazy orgy.
I called
that
it,
involves
dude.
Everyone that Drew called...
I totally called it.
Like, yeah. It's going to happen.
I didn't know it was going to happen, like, right then and there.
You're like, one of these times, we're going to get an orgy. And then 5 minutes later, they're fucking...
Oh, my God. There's, like, 15 people all having sex across the world at the same time with each other. What the hell is going on?
They're all fucking... And then, and obviously that is a part point of the show, like Cloud Atlas, and a lot of what the Wachowskis do, and you know if you know about them, their personal lives, you understand why they would take this approach to their art. But all this shit's all about breaking down boundaries and social boundaries and definitions. You know, we're all people, as Bill Nye says, we're all made from the same stardust.
Yeah.
You know, just because the color of our skin or who we like to fuck, that doesn't make any of us different fundamentally.
No.
You know, so it has become their life mission, it seems.
I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with that. Someone's got to
do it. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they can keep making weird TV shows and every once in a while throw me some strange sci-fi space opera and I'm good.
Throw me some weird movie.
And we're good. In. I can do that.
And we're in. So, yeah. And then, like, they directed a bunch of episodes and they have their own people that do it. It's like Tom Twyker. The German fellow who did Run Lola Run and who co-directed... Cloud Atlas with them. He did a couple episodes. And James McTeague, who was their first assistant director on the Matrix movies. Then he did he directed V for Vendetta for them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of people that they've worked with before or people that they've developed and stuff like that. So that's how all these people do it. That's how a lot, like with the other, with the S-Mail show, with Mr. Robot, he established the tone and the style with his episode. And then as a showrunner, he picked directors who would continue his vision. So he tells them, I want the Kubrick by way of Fincher look, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
So Wachowski's like, this is what we're doing. And the other one's on their side, and it makes for a nice cohesive vision. And it works. And it's good.
Yeah.
Definitely an awesome show. How many episodes is that one? 12, 13?
It's
like 12 or 13, well, right?
12.
12?
Yep, 12. Yeah,
that's a good 12 hours right there. That's a good 12-hour movie. That's part one, apparently, of who knows how many parts. It's going to end up being
maybe
like
eight?
Oh, my God. It's too much. That's too many episodes.
Sense8.
I can't take that much Sense8. We're going to contain this somehow. But it's good. I'm looking forward to the next season for sure.
Definitely.
On the Netflix. Let's stick with Netflix. And talk about that Daredevil.
The Daredevil. We're going to call... how many episodes was it?
That was 10 or 12. Another shorter season.
Ooh,
season. I prefer shows that only do 10, 11, 12 episodes. The shorter, the better, actually. The shows that do like 20, 22, 24,
it's gotta be,
the quality is going to drop because you got to stretch it out so
much. It's got to be 13 because, according to IMDb, they're 26. So that means they already did season two.
Yeah. And you think they just doubled it 13? Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a good...
That makes sense.
12 hours that they, a bit, I mean, all they did was take Frank Miller's Daredevil, The Man Without Fear.
From the 90s.
The graphic, well, I had the graphic novel, but they basically just took that graphic novel and added some extensions, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Didn't add some other things. There you go. I mean, it's pretty much the same storyline, though.
Is there anything from the comic that, like, you wish they had done?
I wish they had introduced Elektra. Maybe, I mean...
That's happening in season two.
Well, yeah, but depending on how they do it. Mm-hmm. Because in the comic book, he first meets Elektra in college. Actually,
so it has to be some sort of flashback.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing.
They've been doing flashbacks
because
on the show.
Stick. All right.
Scott Glenn's coming back.
Yeah. Okay. Stick is part of a group of people that, you know, there's this mystic battle basically between good and evil.
Okay. Sure.
There are two sides.
Sure.
Stick was one of the fighters of good.
Mm.
He's, for all intents, Matt Murdock. To be his replacement in this war.
Okay.
Elektra was also in the running, but she, I guess, converted to the dark side.
Right.
So, basically, you know, same skill sets, except she can see, he can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in college, they were lovers.
Right.
So, ex-lovers turned bitter enemies.
Bitter enemies. Sweet. That better happen.
Yeah, so I really hope that they introduce Elektra that way.
Well, she's definitely being introduced.
Well, I mean, she's his arch nemesis. So.
But they're also saying season two is very much going to be a
Punisher.
Daredevil versus Punisher storyline, which
happens a lot.
That's fine by me.
Yeah.
I'm not excited by the Punisher pick, but maybe John Bernthal will turn out to be quite good.
I mean,
he is a trained actor of the theater and stage. It's not like he's a chump.
I've seen some stuff that he's done. I've liked him in some stuff. I haven't in other.
He's never blown me away, though.
Exactly.
The best he's been in, I think, maybe be Fury.
Yeah, he was good in Fury.
He's pretty good in Fury.
Well, he was good.
But everyone was good in Fury, though.
Because
that movie was so intense.
I mean, it was a small role, but he was okay in Me, Earl, and Dying Girl. He was the teacher.
Yeah, but he was barely in it, though.
Yeah.
He did have the funny line, the respect to research.
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty fun. So hopefully we'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, he's a good Daryl.
Yeah.
Just wish it would be Frank Grillo. But Frank Grillo's, he's Crossbones.
Exactly.
So he's in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So they're doing that. They got Elektra and, but isn't he also supposed to be, he's going to be fucking this girl now in the second season?
Oh, this other chick?
Yeah, the one that's working for him?
I mean, probably.
right? Is that what the whole setup was with that?
It's either he's going to start banging that, or he's going to start banging at Rosario Dawson.
Or he's going to start banging Froggy? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Foggy Bear? Night Nurse. Night Nurse may be... Apparently they can't call Rosario Dawson Night Nurse.
Really?
Yeah, some rights issue.
Interesting.
Someone else in one of the Marvel packages that they sold out a while ago. Like maybe Fox, they might have the Night Nurse rights.
Yeah, her name is Claire Temple.
Claire Temple. So they just call her Claire. Claire! Ruby! Ruffy!
Yeah, I mean...
I enjoy the show. It is a comic book version of Law and Order in which the law part is... He's actually criminal defense. He's actually a defense lawyer.
And the order part, is himself as a vigilante. A silly outfit and whooping ass.
I like the all black ninja outfit more than the final outfit.
The final. I mean,
the face looks weird.
They all do. Chris, comic book costumes do not work in real life.
I guess not.
I mean. Have you seen...
The Batman costumes never really bothered me. Well, the Schumacher
never
ones.
They've never given Wolverine his mask. And you want to know why?
Because you have a handsome man like Hugh Jackman.
Fucking silly as hell.
Now, when you have a man... When you have a Hugh Jackman, you don't cover that face.
Oh, it just doesn't look right. I mean, it looks good in comic books, but in real life, they just don't know.
I guess so. You can look up plenty of pictures of cosplayers.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
You know, it's speaking of cosplayers, this is... I've seen pictures online of, what's his name?
I don't know. What's his name?
X-Men. Apocalypse. I've seen pictures of Apocalypse cosplayers that look better than the official Apocalypse.
I know, right?
In Days of Future Past or whatever in the X-Men movie coming up. So amazing how bad it looks.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad.
It really does look awful.
I hope they do something because...
Yeah, I don't think so. It just looks bad.
And the Daredevil, the mask looks silly. I liked it fine when he had the ninja mask. It was just black.
Yeah.
Just a black cloth over his face.
The
long tassel in the back.
The long tassels were annoying
me. You need that, though, so the wind can blow behind him and he can...
Well, you see, exactly. And that makes for good still shots when you're drawing a comic book.
But in
real life, when it's action and he does stuff, he looks fucking silly.
He looks like he looks like a bouncer at an 80s club, and he has his bandana pulled down over his eyes in a fight.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. But I like the action scenes. I like the fighting.
Yeah. I like big fat Vinny D as Wilson Fisk. He's great. A great kingpin.
And he's always like so.
Yeah?
He's always talking like this.
Unless he's beating you to death with his fist.
I'm a monster. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Scott Glenn is great as this Styx fella.
Yeah.
I mean, Glenn showed up, I think... The show officially sold me. Like, I was on board for it.
Yeah.
When Scott Glenn showed up, I was like,
I'm in.
All right. Like, I'm in.
Let's do this.
Especially since it took him 4 episodes to give us Vinny D.
Uh-huh.
Like, he had a gradual reveal.
Slow burn. Yeah.
But he started fucking some shit up by the time the fucking series was over.
I mean, it's same thing in the comic book.
Yeah.
Kingpin. You see Kingpin in, like, the last 3 pages.
And he's fucking shit up.
But you realize, I mean, that's... His fucking arch nemesis. Yeah. That is, you know, I mean...
It's his Joker.
It's his... Elektra's more his Joker.
It's his... Oh. It's his... who's Superman? It's his Brainiac.
No, it's more of his Lex Luthor.
It's his... Lex Luthor. It's his... it's his Lex Luthor. Damn it.
Brainiac, what was I? I don't know what you're thinking.
What was I thinking? Brainiac.
You weren't. But yeah, Daredevil.
I'm looking forward to that second season.
Of all these Marvel TV shows, I think this one's definitely the best.
Oh, easily.
So
far, it's just this and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it's much better than that.
Yeah.
Just by the fact of it being shorter and not on network TV.
Correct.
Season 2 should be good. Looking forward to it. Punisher, see how that goes.
Yep.
And then Netflix has all these other ones that they're doing. They're getting ready to do... was it Jessica Jones, aka Jessica Jones?
Oh yeah,
and that Luke Cage is in that.
Luke Cage. So what are we putting Iron Fist in this bitch too?
Yes, Iron Fist gets his own series, I think.
Of course.
And who's the fourth one?
Power Man and Iron Fist. It's gonna be good.
And then there's a fourth series.
It's Luke Cage's Power Man.
It's Daredevil, January Jones. Iron Fist and Man, another series, you know, and then they're just going to do The Defenders.
You know what they're doing? They're just fucking copping out and doing everything in New York. Those are all
the New York characters.
Those are all the New York characters.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be teaming up. Then they're going to do a series where it's all of them.
Yeah.
So they all have to be in the same location.
Yeah. Well, no, because I was just thinking, I used to have a lot of the Power Man and Iron Fist things, and all they do is walk around alleys and beat up gangs.
And you know what? 70s, 80s New York? Mwah, perfect for
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Not so much these days, yeah. But perfect for that then. So yeah, there you go. They got a roadmap for that. And it'll be fine. I like the guy who plays the Daredevil, Charlie something, I think his name is.
His name's not bad. Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox.
I didn't mind him. And it took me a little while for him to grow on me, but...
You weren't sold him right away? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was sold right away on the Foggy Nelson.
Yeah.
I like that guy. I like that guy and I like that character. He's sympathetic.
I mean, the red blind glasses are way over the top.
Yeah, they are. Who's thinking of Stevie Wonder?
We get it. You're Daredevil. You got red. I get it. Just don't do that, please.
Why are you doing that?
I think that's why I wasn't sold on him in the beginning.
Stylistic choice. Yeah. You dummy with the red glasses. All right.
Well, he's blind, so.
Yeah, maybe some asshole just couldn't get rid of a pair of red glasses and sold them to him. Here, I got the perfect pair of glasses. Half off. Here you go, buddy. All right. Finally, last show we're going to talk about here. It aired on Cinemax, but then right now it's available on HBO.
On demand.
On demand and on HBO now.
Maybe like another month before it comes off.
It leaves sometime in October.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, get on it. If you haven't seen it, beware. We'll probably be talking about some spoilers. We're talking about The Nick.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. That is a really good show.
I mean, obviously, it's directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Every single episode.
So
not just directed. Directed, director of cinematography, and edited.
Exactly. So if you're into Soderbergh like we are...
I mean, if you're into good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 7-hour Soderbergh movie?
It was a 10-hour.
10-hour Soderbergh movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in.
And season 2, which is getting ready. The reason they're doing this is because season 2 is about to start on Cinemax.
I mean...
Soderbergh did the same thing. Shot all 10 episodes, directed them all, shot them all, edited them all together.
I mean...
He uses pseudonyms for the...
I watched a movie about male strippers called Magic Mike.
Just because of him.
Just because, I mean, this was back... When it first came out... You're like, I'm going to go see Magic Mike. I'm like, you're going to go see what?
Like, why? Why would you want
to? Why? And you're like, it's directed by Steven Soderbergh. I was like, fuck, I have to go. Damn it, I have to see this movie.
I have to see this.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything he, I'm a fan. I really am. Yeah, he does really good work.
He's really good. He's got a great classic style. Very formal. No superfluous camera moves. No over the top stuff. It's just like he sets everything up in the way it needs to be to tell a story he's looking to tell. Everything always looks great.
Yeah.
He uses Cliff Martinez a lot in The Nick.
Yep.
You got Cliff Martinez to do the score. I mean, it's a 10-hour movie. Yeah. It's as cinematic as it gets.
I mean, it's starring Clive Owen, who...
And it's starring Clive Owen!
Who, I mean, after Children of Men, I have... I'm sold
on
that
motherfucker. Whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
We'll watch it.
I will.
We're in, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah, he's great.
You got me.
He's great. And he's great in the show as Dr. Thackeray, who cocaine addict slash opium user slash Dr. Extraordinaire.
I mean, who's basically right all the time. That character reminds me a lot of House.
True.
Because he walks around, he knows everything.
And he's an asshole.
He's right most of the time.
Yeah.
He's an asshole about it, and he is horribly addicted to whatever substance he can get his hand on.
To some sort of substance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I can relate.
And the whole thing with the shooting of cocaine really threw me for a loop because I didn't know about ingesting cocaine that way. Liquid cocaine.
Well, they used it
in needle form.
Well, because it was an anesthetic.
It was straight up medicine. Yeah.
They showed that scene where he takes it, he just pops the vial, rubs it on his arm, puts a scalpel right there. I mean, he can't feel anything.
Yeah.
That's why when you put it up your nose, your fucking face goes numb.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Good stuff.
I've never snorted the cocaine, the cocoa.
Never dabbled?
No.
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 I had an issue with it for a while.
Hey, you know what happens.
You know. But I'm over that.
Dr. Thackeray had a hell of an issue.
Mm. It was nowhere near that bad.
No, that was bad, dude.
Yeah.
Which, to the point where I didn't know that cocaine withdrawal was a thing, like heroin withdrawal, where it's like,
oh,
where he took so much of it, he said at the end he was taking 12 grams a day.
Yeah.
That if he didn't take it enough time, it's like he's sweating and shaking, and it's like he's practically dying and shit, you know?
And well, for all intents and purposes, you are.
But yeah, I didn't know I didn't know it was possible. I thought in order to have so much of that in your system, to have that kind of withdrawal, your heart would just explode from so much cocaine being inside you. But it's
no.
But he was shooting it.
Yeah.
It's different than I never thought of shooting liquid cocaine like that.
Yeah. Well, it's because you don't get liquid cocaine these days.
No, it's not the way it's made. Yeah, is that even a thing anymore?
No.
I don't think so, right?
No.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thackeray, they check him into rehab. Betty Ford of the day, Crutchfield. This is
yes, and they're like, all right, pseudonym. Now you're going to be going through withdrawals, and it's going to be awful for the first couple months, but we've got this stuff. That's from the Bear Company.
It's from Bear.
Safe as aspirin. I'm just gonna.
People who make aspirin.
I'm just gonna inject this into your neck, and you knew that I was like, what?
What is it?
I knew it was some sort of crazy drug. I'm like, what are they giving him? Morphine, heroin, this, that.
What are they fucking him up on now?
And then they do a close up. The final shot. The bottle comes into focus, yeah. And it says heroin, and it's made by Bear.
And it says heroin, that old timey font.
Yep. It's got the Bear logo right there on it. I mean, it's...
That was medicine.
That is truth.
That is medicine.
Yes.
Like MDMA, you know, started as medicine, yeah. And it's actually now coming back around. You read some articles.
Well, no.
It's starting to be used again in the medical industry.
Well, psychologists are using it mainly to treat PTSD.
Yeah, that's one way.
Because it, I mean, it...
It gets in there, man.
Well, I mean...
It opens up the chakras.
It all depends on how you use it.
Under the surveillance of a doctor, a trained professional.
Well, no,
in a room with a lot of pillows.
Exactly.
And maybe some Vaseline.
It opens up...
And maybe...
It just opens you up, basically. It makes you...
Can I get a back scratcher?
A little more receptive to everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
I don't know whose story it is. I'm stealing someone's story. But someone... was rolling face once, mm-hmm. at a party, stuck Vaseline in their ears, and said, "Everything I hear is cold."
That sounds like something who was rolling face who did that would do. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, right? Sounds right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, totally.
Someone else's story.
Correct.
That's a secondhand story. So the Nick is about that doctor who's a great doctor and well-respected and a secret junkie, but the secret's starting to get out throughout the season until it's out fully. Meanwhile, Dr. Edwards, Algernon Edwards, shows up from France.
Yes.
He's Harvard-educated.
Yes.
He's European-trained.
He's
a published... published in the, you know, yeah, papers and
published
shit.
Doctor.
Yep.
He is there to become the assistant chief of surgery who... There was some other guy who was already being basically bred for it.
And this was after Max Headroom shot himself in the first episode.
Yes. Who we later find out was also addicted to cocaine.
Sure.
And, you know, that's where Thackeray got his
all the great minds of the time
from.
Were.
Yeah.
Dapple.
Dr. Algernon. And, all of that. He also happens to be black.
He happens to be black.
And that is a... huge issue.
It's a big point.
Early 1900s New York.
Even in New York and the Northeast, man, imagine it was like down south. This is still is post-Civil War too, post-slavery. Shit is fucking crazy for black people.
He would have probably been turned into a slave if he was in the South.
In the South, even in the 1900s, they were still finding ways.
Yeah. They're
still operating cotton farms and shit.
12 years a slave, Chris.
I mean, that did happen during the 1850s.
Well, almost the same time frame.
Pre-Civil War, post, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, no, horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible.
Horrible time.
And
so,
even one scene, like, a main part of his story is him trying to gain acceptance within the hospital, within the medical community.
And you find out that
the macro with the race.
He is, you know, he's probably smarter.
He is smarter. He's smarter than everyone
almost
there.
Everybody else
he's,
there.
He's smarter than everyone.
I mean, he's...
The only thing Thackeray has on him probably is experience and age.
Yeah.
Because Edwards, he seems like a younger dude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he is inventing his own machine. I mean, he
invented the suction.
The vacuum suction.
Yeah.
Invented it.
They were himself. hand cranking the blood out of people before.
Yeah, nope. He invented the suction machine.
He invented a hernia procedure that got published.
The
hernia procedure, co-publishing with Thackeray.
Yeah.
He showed them his, what was the one? Was it for the pregnancies that they were dealing with?
He was working on the pregnancies, and then there was the...
there was a procedure came up with a doctor.
Yeah, it was the C-section.
The C-section.
Because basically...
He invented the C-section with some French doctor.
Well, yeah, because the mothers were... every time they tried to cut out the baby, the mother would bleed out and die.
Yeah, because they were going underneath and
exactly. Oh, so they decided to go another way and put pressure on a certain valve. The mother still bleeds, but it's slower, so she doesn't bleed out. They can fix it after the baby gets out.
Yeah, it's like a basketball.
But I mean, yeah,
all the surgery stuff in the show is like the gnarliest, grossest shit.
It's like
Eli Roth movie sometimes in there.
It's very
when
much
hands deep in people,
but it's very much a sign of the times. You know the way it was done back then.
It was brutal.
It was very historically accurate.
And one doctor, the Jewish doctor, he's like, let's stop being butchers and start actually being surgeons.
Well,
you know, let's actually get precise with this shit.
At that point in time,
because they were just,
I mean,
cutting people open.
Yes, you know, you've got your Thackerays and all those people, and but then the established hospitals.
But then you got your Judge John Hodgmans.
But no,
pulling teeth.
Well, on top of that, I mean, if you're not in a city that has a hospital at the time, technically, for all of your medical work,
you go to the barbershop.
You go to the barbershop.
They mentioned right in the first episode, like, we're taking surgery out of the barbershops and, like, into, you know.
Exactly, because you used to go to the barbershop and, I mean, what, like, the white was for the cleaning, the blue stood for something else, and the red stood for the blood so you get your fucking teeth pulled
and
stitched up.
Yeah, what did the blue stand for?
I forget what it stood for, but
nice cool glass of water. Step right up, get your cool glass of water. Nice bloodletting. We have the finest leeches in town.
So, I mean,
Jimmy's barber shop.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and it is gross and very, like you said, historically accurate in the way they portray
everything,
medicine and the culture,
I mean,
you got the nuns giving abortions
exactly, and
the way ambulance drivers are also like making money on the side.
Well,
hustling
no, exactly.
And shit.
This Irish. Frickin', you know, this like Irish ambulance driver,
Tom Cleary,
who, you know, is
old
helping.
Tom Cleary.
He's against abortion, but he doesn't. He's against these ladies dying even more.
But he also is like, I guess I could make some money off this somehow. That seems to be his primary concern.
His primary concern is making money,
and he can justify it by being like, oh, I guess, you know, the women.
Well, and you can tell by too. You know the things that he talks about that he's been some awful places and done some awful things.
He seems world weary.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's finally at a point where maybe he's going legit, you know, getting out of...
In a way.
Yeah.
Right?
With the, you know, driving the ambulance.
And working with the nun, even though that's like an illicit underground side job.
Yeah,
but
still.
He can still justify it in a way that's a positive spin.
Yeah.
And he's working with the nun. He's like, that's going to give me some good points with the Lord.
Well, he already knows. Him and the nun were talking. And he's like, I'm totally going to hell. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, sure. He knows his place.
Yeah.
And then you got the guy who, the manager of the hospital, who like he's trying to make everything top of the line, top of notch, but he can't manage the money, and he has himself in a ridiculous debt.
He is not just ridiculous
debt.
That's
the best. That twist at the end is the best.
He got himself so much into debt that he convinced
a Chinese mobster, essentially.
Basically, he had the choice between what he did. He thought he had the choice between evil and freedom.
Yeah.
But he really had the choice between the lesser evil that he was dealing with and a really more evil, very fucked up person.
Yeah.
That happened to be an acquaintance.
Yeah. Who thought would, like, look out for him.
Yeah,
he
but...
He wasn't going to look out for him. Especially since he went through with lies. I think that
was
the thing.
He knew the whole time.
But the Asian guy, yeah.
The Asian guy knew the whole time.
But he just needed his evidence. He found the book. He found the ledger.
Well,
he's like, I got it right here. I got the debt.
He figured... I can kill my. I'm killing my competition.
Oh, that's true too.
And on top of it, I get to find out what this guy's really about.
That's true too.
And now he owes $9,000 to the man who would, as quote unquote, this coming from that Chinese man.
Yeah.
If you owed me that much money for this long, I would have fed you to my pigs.
Like, I would have fed you to my pigs. And then the guy's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Because
now it's his ledger.
Which is awesome.
My debt.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it's going to be... Yeah. Well, don't know how we're going to watch it.
Maybe we'll do the same thing next year. Or...
we don't have Cinemax.
Whenever Cinemax puts that shit on DVD, because they always do that shit,
yeah.
I'll get it via the Netflix, the DVD, yo. Because I got that shit.
Oh, it's on the Amazon.
It's on the Amazon. We can just Amazon it, yo.
We could.
We have the options, so... We'll be good. We won't be watching it with the people, but by the time we do watch it, it'll be time for another edition of Talking TV, just like that one. That's how it's going to go.
Oh, you know, this time D-Page says something that I totally, absolutely didn't even think about until, yeah. I mean, it's totally a Stevens. It's totally a movie. There are no opening credits on any of the episodes.
That's right. It just starts the Nick.
There are no opening credits. There's the opening scene.
Opening scene.
It says the Nick, and then you go into it's like a 45-minute movie.
Yeah. It's a 10-hour movie.
Yeah, but there's no opening credits, and I didn't even realize that.
It's the same thing as with, oh, you know what? We didn't talk about it, so we'll just have to talk about it another time. It's like season one of True Detective. Every episode was directed by Cory Fukunaga, yeah. So it all had this nice cohesiveness to it, and it was structured in a way that if you were directing that show like a normal TV show, you couldn't have structured that way, or you would have had to have had your actors using a lot of makeup and wigs and stuff.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with the Nick. They're doing the same thing with season two. Yeah. When it's all said and done, you're going to have like a 30, 40 hour Steven Soderbergh movie. It's going to be the Das Boot of 1900s medical science and drug tomfoolery. Druggery.
I love it. It's good stuff.
So there you go. Talking TV, Drew. We're going to be doing that every now and then.
All right.
Now that we talk about all those shows, we have no shows to talk about. So we're going to have to start watching a couple of shows.
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of stuff. I mean, I still have never seen an episode of The Wire or The Sopranos.
I guess you could watch those.
So I've got some work to do.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. So thank you, Drew, very much.
You're very welcome.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at antihero419 on just about everything on the internet.
Everything on the internet. All the social media.
I mean, if you can think of, I mean, I'm on that Elo. I got that Twitter. I'm on
Twitter
that Twitter. That Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Got some of them Instagrams. The Periscope. Probably some other stuff that I don't even remember doing.
Got them on the LinkedIn and the Reddit.
Nope. Not on any of those. Reddit. For me.
Reddit is like a cup of Jello. No.
Reddit is like Asian cuisine to me.
Hey, I love Asian cuisine.
I love Asian cuisine too. But if you really want to get into it, it's like, I mean, you're opening up this door of like 1,000 years worth of cooking knowledge, and it's just so daunting. And that's what Reddit is like for me. Like, I know I've never been to Reddit, never done anything on Reddit, but no. I know that once I open those doors,
just so much.
It's just so daunting, the amount of nonsense there. I'm just not ready for it.
So hey, you want to taste 1,000 years of Chinese cooking? Come on in.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. So it's a little much.
All right. Well, one day we'll get you into Reddit and Chinese cooking. So you can hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Follow the show at Crespity. So we appreciate it. Rate us and review us on the iTunes. Favorite us on Stitcher and share with your friends. Remember to support R-rated movies, break up big banks, and be excellent to each other. We're out.